Real music, real interviews, real information. That's why we call it Real Gospel with the X-Man.
Time for the latest from my friend Lamont Sanders. This is called Whatever It Takes. Turn your radios up because this is Real Gospel.
I'm feeling real good right now.
It's a happy song, so you can sing along. Let's go. Determined to be strong when everything seems crazy. It's your love that saves me. You alone are worthy. Only you deserve it. My heart, my mind, my soul, my life. We gon' run, we gon' dance, we gon' sing. Lift our hands, whatever it takes, yeah. Whatever it takes, yeah. Yeah.
Real Gospel is the place where God gets the glory and artists tell their stories. I'm so honored to have the one, the only, the anointed sounds of the man himself on this gospel program, Lamont Sanders. Welcome to Real Gospel, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Yes, indeed. I am loving your new song, Forever Mercy. I can tell that you have spent a significant amount of time, not only in church, but I'm going to go out on a limb here because I'm going to admit I did not take a peek at your bio. I wanted this to be fresh. You spent some time as a worship leader, haven't you?
Yeah.
It stands out like a sore thumb, man. I'm just saying. Some people have it, and so you know how to unction up to the highest of highs when it comes to your music. And so, I just wanted to say that to you. So, tell us a little bit about you. For someone who just discovered Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior on yesterday, and they spent a lot of time listening to secular music, and they don't understand gospel music and gospel artists, and they're probably saying, "Wow, there are gospel artists." And so, tell them a little bit about who you are and how you know, where you come from and how you first discovered the Lord.
Well, Lamont Sanders is he's a father, a husband, and my mother put it like this: I lived the life of a prodigal son, and I didn't always get everything right. And you know, I lived on the other side of the fence as far as doing the R&B music and, you know, a little bit of street life. My mother didn't raise me that way, but I kind of went that way. However, it was God's grace and His mercy and a personal relationship with Him which drew me closer and allowed me to understand it really wasn't about church or religion or even tradition, but really more about a relationship between He and I that drew me closer and let me understand what it was He called me to do.
So when you say you were involved in R&B, give us some specifics. I came, my background as far as radio came from the R&B world as well. I started out at Pop Top 40, and you know, and then I went into R&B, and the station that I'm at now is a for more lack of better terms is a 24-hour smooth jazz station, smooth and contemporary jazz, and gospel is what I do because God has called me to this particular genre. But so I can relate. So when you were doing R&B, were you singing R&B? Were you, making music?
I was actually a signed artist to a label owned by Babyface and Andre Harrell. It was America, Interscope.
Andre Harrell, as in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Andre Harrell. See,
yeah.
I told you I knew. See, a lot of people don't know about that. They don't know about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I went back a little bit. Okay, so what happened that caused you to say, you know what, Lord, it's all about you. It's really all about you, God.
Well, I was on a tour and I was singing background and, you know, stage night after night. And as soon as I got on the tour bus, God spoke to me clear as day. And he said, you know, your flesh felt good, people screaming and yelling your name, but nobody called the name of Jesus. And I've given you a gift, and I started to feel like I was prostituting God's gift. So for me, that was like the wake-up call. And, you know, I would always hear things in the industry, boy, something about your voice. And I knew what it was, but was afraid to tell them, it's the anointing, singing the wrong music.
That's interesting. Let me ask you this. When you were around other, did you get an opportunity to be around, I guess, other, I would say, preachers or people who were into church? Did you get opportunity to spend time around them at different phases?
Not necessarily, because, you know, when I was doing the R&B, the church kind of ostracized you.
Okay.
And didn't really want to, you know, embrace you. And, you know, and that's when I learned, you know what, it's not about who likes me, it's about God loving me in spite of me. And, you know, musicians, you know, all the musicians we got now that's touring, these guys come from the church.
That's right.
So one of my personal things is, like, just staying connected to them. You know, so they may not get a word every Sunday because they're working like how they're working. But listen, if I can give them a word and remind them who the gift giver is, we'll be all right.
That's true. You know, that reminds me of something. You know, I've gone to quite a few R&B concerts over the years, and it always amazes me that when the artist, if it's an R&B artist, which 9 times out of 10 it is, when they take an opportunity to give honor to God or to give praise to God or to do anything that comes out of the secular area, it seems like the people respond astronomically. It's like they automatically go to church. At least our people. When I say our people, you know, our people,
black people.
It just seems like the R&B for a second it goes to the side, and people immediately fall into worship, and they do that, and then they go back to sort of doing what they're doing. And it's not a disrespect thing. It's like, you know what? I do recognize God. I do want to take this opportunity right now to just say thank you, Lord, and I get it. So that's something that I think that we inside the church don't always understand about things that happen outside of church. Have you seen that or experienced that as well?
Definitely, definitely. And it's funny that people don't even understand on those R&B tours, just like, okay, the Bad Boy tour they're having now.
Yeah.
They pray before they go on stage. They know who, you know, allows them to get to that, through that concert, through that show. And when they bring God on the stage, it just reminds people that God is omnipresent. God went, he went into the bar. You know what I'm saying? We can't keep him in the four walls.
Yeah.
The four walls is not what God is about.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a whole lot of sense. So what was the transformation like? When, how did you make the transition from R&B into back into gospel, and what was that like?
It definitely was a challenging, very challenging transition, because I had to remember it wasn't about the beat, it wasn't about the, you know, get them dancing. It really was about what God was saying. It wasn't, you know, sometimes when we write songs in the R&B, we're expressing how we may want to feel. Or tell people what they want to hear. But now it was like, no, you got to hear from God. Hear from him. And say, God, what is it you want me to say to your people?
Wow. So what was it like for you?
For me, it was it was definitely challenging, because I had to spend more time with him versus just getting up and going. Or getting up and just doing. Even though he gave me the gift, I still had to spend more time to hear his voice, which brought me closer to him and brought me more intimate. You know, it made sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I get that, because you said something that's significant, because something you just said, I right now, I sort of feel in my spirit that you just touched a multiplicity of people when you sort of made the statement that in secular music, it's about you. Or it's about your feelings and your emotions about a relationship, but when you're dealing with gospel, you it's about your relationship with God, and sometimes even when I'm listening to some gospel music, it feels like someone's trying to thread that needle just a little bit, because I do listen to some of the music. I'm like, you know, I'm not sure who you're singing to here, you know, but there are other artists who understand. That's why I said when we opened up the interview, I said, you know how to exalt the Lord. And I found that to be very evident in your music, that you go to the throne room of God, as they say. You know how to call on the name of the Lord. You know how to get the God's people involved in the worship aspect of that. How long did it take you to really begin to understand how to usher in the presence of God where you were?
I believe I'm still learning.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
Every day it's a new day, and I ask God, just please show me your presence. Bring your presence here, and if possible, use me just so people can say, I see or I hear God. I really have to remove Lamont.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Lamont cannot be a part, because I'm a distraction. And I want them to get God, see God, feel God.
Wow. So is that why this CD project is called Metamorphosis? And what can we expect from Metamorphosis?
Metamorphosis. You can expect change. Songs that will meet you where you are and bring you closer to him, because it was my metamorphosis that is still taking place, and that's why I love being in the project as it is. Finishing up this project is like, okay, God, what's next? what's my next? And it's we're never finished with our next.
Yeah. 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 Metamorphosis. So it's a little bit about your journey, but I also feel spiritually that we can connect with metamorphosis because we're always changing, always
right.
growing,
right.
always looking for the next thing of God, continuing to seek more of God and His wisdom and His understanding. And I find it's like the caterpillar coming out of the cocoon almost,
right.
and learning how to fly and becoming a butterfly. You know, that's just, it's amazing. So Forever Mercy. Did you write that song?
I wrote it. I co-wrote it with a friend and producer of mine, Dana Saray.
Okay.
And when we wrote that record, it was, trust me, I have never been in a session like this before in my life.
Yeah.
For 2 hours, it was just sitting there listening to what God was saying. No cell phones, no social media. It was just he and I in a room, God and the piano.
Wow. Wow. I bet the anointing was flowing in that room did y'all record that so that you could go back and just be in awe at what was going on? Now you couldn't because you turned everything off, didn't you?
Yeah. He recorded everything because it was just such a flow.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was amazing because I personally couldn't hear where the record was going. And he was just stay in the flow.
Wow.
And this record is just, I'm blessed by it, and I just pray that everyone else is blessed by it.
Wow. Any surprise artists that we'll hear on this project that we should be looking out for?
I'm not allowed to say.
I understand.
Everyone is telling me you can't talk about it. All right.
I got you. I feel you in that, but I'm pretty sure that we are going to be blessed nonetheless. So, Lamont, before we let you go, tell the listeners where they can find more information about you on social media. What are your social media handles? Where can they find out more information about Forever Mercy?
You can go to Twitter, Lamont Sanders, Instagram, Facebook, Periscope, or you can just simply go to LamontSanders.com.
Excellent. Now, where do you live?
I'm out of New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey. You're right across the bridge from us. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. That's how I knew about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Got you.
So, give a shout out to your church in case someone is going to be visiting in the New Jersey area or they're listening right now and they may want to drop in.
Well, I go to Agape Fellowship Center in Rahway, New Jersey, where the pastor is Lawrence Powell.
Okay, Lawrence Powell. And the service times are?
We have a 9 o'clock and an 11 o'clock.
All right. Are you leading praise and worship there?
No, not right now. I mean, my schedule has gotten a little hectic.
Okay.
But a friend of mine, you guys remember John McClure?
Yes.
Sunday's Best.
Yes.
He's there.
Okay, leading praise and worship. Huh? So you're a former praise and worship leader, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, give a quick word of advice to people who are fashionably late for service and they miss out on praise and worship.
Oh my goodness. Word of advice, don't be late. Set your clock an hour early. Praise and worship, that when I say that is so important to the flow of the spirit, it's so important. My wife's going to kill me, but when I was like, babe, we got to drive 2 cars. I have to be there for praise and worship. That just starts everything for me.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, sometimes she's late. You know, she got the kids to get dressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, well, let's get up like it's a work day.
Yeah.
Whatever we got to do to get there, let's make it happen. Because that praise and worship, that sets the tone. And I would hate to miss, you know, how the flow is.
There it is. You all heard it. So those of you who are fashionably late, not because you really have a legitimate reason, but you just don't believe, you are missing out on so much. The anointing, the blessing, just, you know, yokes being destroyed and chains being broken. All that does happen during praise and worship.
Yeah.
So, yeah. His name is Lamont Sanders. Look out for his song, Forever Mercy, and his new CD project, Metamorphosis. Lamont, thank you so much for taking time out to spend with us on Real Gospel.
Oh, man, X, I appreciate you, bro.
The Real Flashback Song of the Hour is up next. Get your request in at Real Gospel with the X-Man on Facebook.
You're listening to Real Gospel with the X-Man.